The first chapter is more or less an introduction to the rest of the book. And in the second and third chapters, the spiritual knowledge described is called confidential. Topics discussed in the seventh and eighth chapters are specifically related to devotional service, and because they bring enlightenment in Krishna consciousness, they are called more confidential. But the matters which are described in the ninth chapter deal with unalloyed pure devotion. Therefore, this is called the most confidential. One who is situated in the most confidential knowledge of Krishna is naturally transcendental. He therefore has no material pangs, although he is in the material world. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is said that although one who has a sincere desire to render loving service to the Supreme Lord is situated in a conditional state of material existence, he is to be considered liberated. Similarly, we shall find in the Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter, that anyone who is engaged in that way is a liberated person. Now, this first verse has specific significance. The word idam jnanam, this knowledge, refers to pure devotional service, which consists of 9 different activities: hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, worshipping, praying, obeying, maintaining friendship, and surrendering everything. By the practice of these 9 elements of devotional service, one is elevated to the spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness. When one's heart is thus cleared of material contamination, one can understand the science of Krishna. Simply to understand that a living entity is not the material body is not enough. That may be the beginning of spiritualization, but one should recognize the difference between activities of the body and the spiritual activities of one who understands that he is not his body. In the 7th chapter, we have already discussed the opulent potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his different energies, the inferior and the superior natures, and all this material manifestation. Now, in chapter 9, the glories of the Lord will be delineated. The Sanskrit word anusyave in this verse is also very significant. Generally, the commentators, even if they are highly scholarly, are all envious of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even the most erudite scholars write on Bhagavad Gita very inaccurately because they are envious of Krishna. Their commentaries are useless. The commentaries given by the devotees of the Lord are bona fide. No one can explain Bhagavad Gita or give perfect knowledge of Krishna if he is envious. One who criticizes the character of Krishna without knowing him is a fool. So, such commentaries should be very carefully avoided. For one who understands that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the pure and transcendental personality, these chapters will be very beneficial. Idam te tu goyatamam praviksyami anusyave jnanam vijnanam sahitam yat yat va mukshave sammavat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Arjuna, because you are never envious of me, I shall impart to you this most confidential knowledge and realization, knowing which you shall be relieved of the miseries of material existence." Om Aginam Tivarandasya Ganam Ganam Shalakaya Chakshuvritam Denam Tajmai Shri Guruve Namah Vancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah. So, this Bhagavad Gita and this Krishna consciousness, it deals with very confidential knowledge, not regular knowledge. Regularly, God is not available. It's almost like imagination. Believe in something, I don't know what it is, you don't know what it is, nobody knows what it is, but believe in that anyway. Isn't this a kind of foolishness? And we believe in something impersonal, isn't that a fact? Something impersonal. You don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. Nobody knows what it is. But we have to love that. Is this feasible? Because right now the whole field of religious consciousness is in this realm. Nobody knows anything. And the only personality of God revealed is as revealed by the devotees and the Vedas. That has always been there. With the, like it's described in this verse, the personality of God. If there's personality, then there's responsibility for one's activities. Say your father is there, right? You're not going to do something because that's going to displease your father. It's a personal thing. If nobody's there, you don't care what, nobody's dissatisfied. So God is like that. You see God's personality everywhere. He's provided everything for everyone to survive. That's God is doing that. Not just going on by chance. By chance I'm getting everything. No. God is doing that. He's making the world peaceful so everybody can become enlightened. God is, it's personality. Personality means he likes something, he does not like something. So what does God like? Or what does God dislike? God likes this to be devotee. This God likes this. To be a loving person, to be kind to others, to be loving devotee. God loves us. And to be a demon, to not care about anyone, to be against God, God does not care, does not like this. Personality. If this personality was not there, then nothing would be there. And so, according to Srila Prabhupada, what we do, we try to take away God's personality and replace ourselves. We have everything, and God has simply energy, like the sun. The sun is simply vibrating everything. The sun isn't enjoying anything. It's simply helping us enjoy, that's all. And that is not the real idea of God. It's a false idea. But if you're not serious, David, be careful. God puts you in the false ideas. And just like we want to blame God. Oh, why has God done this to me? I'm so very nice. So the fact of the matter is we're not very nice. And we are the conditioned souls. We have to recognize our position to become liberated and to find out what is our defect and how we'll remove the defect and how we'll make progress. And what is that progress and what is that enlightenment? That is only known to devotees. As it's described here, those who are envious of God, then you cannot find God. Because God is not, what is envy? Envy is simply the opposite of love, that's all. There's envy and there's love. Envy is bad and love is good. Just like you have the material world. The material world is full of envy. This is the difficulty. The material world is full of envy. From the little creatures are all harassing each other. The bugs are all killing each other. And then from there you have higher up, they're all fighting, killing each other also. The animals, it's also survival of the fittest. And then also you have above that, you have the humans fighting each other. And humans are fighting over, the animals, they're fighting over something to eat, right? Humans, they're fighting over crazy things. My God, I believe this God, you're that, I believe this way. And you know, sometimes the demigods are fighting the demons. This is in Bhagavatam. So this material world is always like fighting going on. And those who are not conscious, they are going to have to remain here. In either going to the heavenly planets or remaining on the earthly planets or going to the hellish planets. Due to all, everything is due to activities. The confidential knowledge is simply about God's personality. That is the confidential knowledge. And God is giving that if somebody is serious. If somebody is not serious, sometimes we have the information, just like we're born in a religion, we have the information, but we cannot assimilate it because there's no pure devotee to help us assimilate the thing. And I see sometimes somebody say, maybe a misinterpretation, that Hanuman is God. Hanuman is Ram. So, you know, it's a misinterpretation. And if you look at it properly, Hanuman looks like God, doesn't he? If you read the Ramayana, then Hanuman is acting like Ram. Ram simply has bow and arrows, but Hanuman gets a big gigantic form. He flies over the mountain. He all these godly things he's doing with great power. But Ram, he's just his wife got stolen. He's complaining about this, you know. Krishna always like this, like he's helpless, you know, he can't do anything. Krishna's always doing like this. When you think he's helpless, he can't do nothing, then he comes out and says, oh my God, he does something. You know, I always got like to make like he's nothing at first, nothing would happen, you know. He's not around, you know, everybody's doing everything crazy. But then God comes up and everybody, oh my God, God is there. So God likes to do this. And how we do this, God simply introduces his devotee. So you all are crazy, but here's my devotee. Then you can learn from him how to be sane. This is how God teaches. And God is always doing this. Just like a good example is Lord Jesus Christ. He simply simply tell the truth, that's all. And everybody's crazy about that. Everybody's crazy about him because he simply tell the truth. Not that Lord Jesus Christ, he never left the mountain. So simply a devotee telling the truth is very potent, like is stated in this verse. Devotional activities are very potent. And they purify the person that from the gross and subtle bodies. Of course, you know, this is the science of Krishna consciousness, not just to believe in something, but it's how to approach and how to make progress and how to become spiritually enlightened properly. That is the thing. And once you get that, then it's the same thing everywhere. When you're a pure devotee, you're a pure Christian, you're a pure Buddhist, you're a pure Muslim, you're pure everything. Full attainment. That means that as soon as you're Krishna conscious, you lose the idea of this religion or that religion. And then further on, you are not so much connected with these people or those people. It means you're becoming sane. You're becoming realized that you're not this body. You have an eternal existence. You have an eternal body. You don't have to get the eternal body. You already have the eternal body. But it's inside, it's covered over. And that covering is called the modes of material nature. That you have to study in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna's giving the knowledge how to find everything. This is Bhagavad Gita, how you can find it. It is within, it's a secret, confidential confidential matters between you and God. And if somebody is not serious, then God is putting them in something that's not serious. Because even if you are in something that's not serious, you can find it if you are determined. Anyway, you can write a return, but if you settle for, I don't know everything, everything is not revealed, but you know, what I'm still going on, knowing I won't, then that's not good. You have to have faith in God, that if you are serious and if you're determined, God is going to take care of you and give you the highest truth, based on your sincerity. So we are... That is the most confidential knowledge, is that first beginning with you're the spirit soul, the qualities of the spirit soul are described. We're not waiting for the scientists to find the spirit soul, because you cannot find the spirit soul against God. You cannot go against God and find the secrets without God's permission. You cannot do that. God doesn't allow that. So the only way to find the secrets, how to become relieved, as it's described here, from the miseries of material existence. And material existence is full of miseries. We cannot avoid it. Beginning from birth. As soon as somebody is born, right, the doctor wants to understand, wants to get, is the baby crying yet? Pow! That's the introduction to the material body. Can the baby cry? You know, is the baby able to suffer properly? This is because when you come here, you have to be able to suffer here. This place is not a heavenly planet. You know, we try to make it like a heavenly planet. Oh, I'm going to Las Vegas, I'm going to San Francisco, and it's not a heavenly planet here. I'm going to Hawaii. Prabhupada said that's like a heavenly planet in Hawaii. You know, palm trees and all these things over here. So, Jai, Shri Shri Radha Gopi Balava Ki Jai. So God is there, the personality of God. You cannot love just simply the impersonal understanding. That is the difficulty. We are all realized souls. We come to this Krishna consciousness to perfect our realization. It's not like we didn't know about anything before we came here. Most devotees, they come to Krishna consciousness, they're already on a path of self-realization, a serious person. These are the persons that find God. Not simply persons who are not serious. Not serious means that you didn't find God, but still you give up looking. You haven't found God yet, but you're not looking very hard. That's not being serious. But to become serious means that you have to find serious persons. Persons who are serious persons and the persons who are not serious. The persons who want to get something from God and the persons who want to give something to God. There are different kinds of... And Krishna has to see all of the different persons, what they really want. Because as soon as they get what they want, that'll be it. If they are genuine, then they'll always be there to serve Krishna. And if they want something from Krishna, Krishna will give them that. When they get it, they'll go away. So Krishna is dealing with all kinds of persons. So this Krishna consciousness is nothing else but the very confidential information about God. Very confidential. And God is very mysterious, because how can God reveal it and keep it hidden at the same time? You know, it is revealed. If you go on the internet, you say you want to find God, you'll find Krishna. Yeah, and everything is available, what you want to find. It's like the supermarket. If you go to the supermarket, you can get whatever you want to get. This Krishna consciousness is to teach the human being how to elevate this, the consciousness to this very advanced platform, Krishna consciousness. Very advanced platform. The authorities has made it available. That is Srila Vyasadeva and a whole long list of great pure devotees that formed the tradition in India, or the Vedic tradition. And that later on expanded from that, became the Hindu religion, a little misinterpretation. But originally this information, it goes beyond everything, when everybody was still barbarians. Matter of fact, when most people were barbarians, this knowledge was in India. Perfect knowledge. How to elevate the spirit consciousness to Krishna consciousness. When that is done, then the person becomes a realized soul. That is called a liberated soul. That is the perfect person. Just like Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada is a perfect person. If you want to find a defect in Srila Prabhupada, that'd be very difficult. Maybe you can find some defect. He said "and" instead of "if." Prabhupada said that a perfect person doesn't know who won the World Series. We think a perfect person knows every little crazy thing. No. A perfect person just knows where he's going. He knows after he leaves that body, his destination is not the end with the body. A self-realized person knows these things. And so life for the self-realized person is different than for the unconscious person. The unconscious person is just simply what I can get, what I can go in. But the conscious person is always thinking how I can leave this body properly and how I can attain my eternal home. And if I don't go back to Godhead, at least I'll go to the higher place. And that is that decision there is an important decision. When you make a decision to be Krishna conscious, you have made a decision that's saving your life. That's why you end up in the higher worlds, because the decision you make here. Nobody in the higher world is not going there by chance. And this is where the beginning is, that you inquire into your self-realization. First, in order to be self-realized, you have to contact self-realized persons. The self-realized persons, they're not on the corner hanging out. I mean, unless they're doing Harinam. But a self-realized person, they're not running around. You have to be, we have to be very lucky to contact self-realized souls. Just like myself, I'm very lucky. Why? I'm very smart. But I'm just able to contact enlightened souls. That is the most beneficial thing. In life is to get the association of enlightened persons. Enlightened persons are not just religious persons. They are persons who are understood and whose Krishna has revealed himself to. That's in Bhagavad Gita when Krishna says, Tadvidi paripatena, paripastena sevaya, upadakshantite jnanam, jnaninastatvadashina. If you want to learn the truth, just try to approach a bona fide spiritual master. Make a submissive inquiry. And render service. Because, why? Because the self-realized person has seen the truth. This doesn't mean we have not seen the truth. Maybe some devotee has seen the truth. And but this is the fact that Krishna reveals the truth to persons who surrendered and who realize and who become serious and dedicate themselves. Krishna reveals the truth to that person. But we do not know what the truth is. We also have to make surrender. And when Krishna is pleased with us, he'll reveal us what the truth is. But we cannot know what the truth is. Only someone who Krishna has revealed the truth to. And if Krishna reveals the truth to someone, that person becomes very excited, very enthusiastic, very happy, very blissful. Nobody knows what it is. This is like love. The only person who knows what Krishna consciousness love is the person who Krishna revealed it to. That's the only person. The other person might say, it might be like this, it might be like that. Actually, it's not like anything that we can readily understand and appreciate. So it means that it has to be revealed. Even if somebody is enlightened, if they tell us what it is, still we would not know. Because we have to make the progress to come there. And Krishna is not giving it out, as Krishna says. He's not giving it to everybody. He's basing it on, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Krishna is saying like this. So he doesn't say, oh, just come, anybody can get it. First, there's qualification. They surrender. And that you cannot find Krishna unless you become part of Krishna. And being part of Krishna is not a name. You have to become like Krishna in quality. Then you'll find Krishna. That's the secret thing. How to become Krishna conscious, how to become the quality of Krishna, how to realize that quality, that is devotional service, and the perfection of devotional service gives that to us. So everything is provided for the devotees by Krishna. Himself is providing everything for the devotees. It's not that you have to remain not knowing. You come to Krishna and you make inquiry and you make surrender and then Krishna reveals to you the secret. Once you find the secret, then you become a very happy person, very blissful person. Because there are these three bodies are there. There's the gross body, there's the subtle body, and there's the spiritual body. This is the science. So to get from the gross consciousness to the subtle realization to the spiritual realization, that is the process of devotional service. Very mystical process. Not very understood, very easy. To get to purify the body, you have to go into the subtle body. That is the mind, intelligence. This mind intelligence that deals with thinking, acting for Krishna, doing services, chanting, dancing, all these things are acting with the mind. And when we study and Bhagavad Gita, we weigh all these different things out, that we're applying our intelligence to the process. When your intelligence becomes purified, then you can understand what to do exactly and how to do it. That's in spiritual intelligence. And Krishna gives that to somebody who is serious and sincere. And then that spiritual intelligence, when it's purified, then you get all the intellectual stimulation to be Krishna conscious. Very good reason to be enlightened. And all of these things together, they help us to give up this false identity of I am separate from Krishna. I have my business, Krishna has his business. This is a false idea. Because actually your living is God's life also. Your life is part of God's life. So you're not living separately from God. And so then you recover that identity with God and you give up that false identity. That's called false ego. So the subtle realizations, they help the gross body to become relieved. Like it's described here, when the gross body is relieved from material existence. As long as you're on the false understanding that you're this body, material existence is going to be miserable. You're going to get cold, you're going to get hot, the mind is going to be miserable, you're going to want to be agitated, you're going to be, you know, people go out and do crazy things because of that, because of the mind and the agitation in the mind. So a devotee, by purifying the mind, this agitation becomes gone away and replaces that from the spiritual body, all of this Satchitananda comes in. This is the real body. This is your eternal body. That's beyond the gross and subtle body. This science is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a little detailed science. It's very important to know how the soul is situated, what the qualities of the soul are. The qualities of the soul, that's what everybody is looking for. It's called, in Sanskrit, it's called Sachirananda Vigaha. Everybody is looking for that. Because that is, Sat means that's eternal. And the spiritual is eternal. That's the nature of the spiritual. That's very, if you understand the nature of the spiritual soul, that the soul is eternal, you'll become very happy. Because why should God give you something cheap, you know, for a short time, nothing? No. So you have the soul that's eternal, that's part of God. All you have to do is to understand what to do with that and become blissful and purified. And chit, that means simply, chit doesn't really mean just understanding the knowledge. Chit means knowing about the love of Krishna. Knowing how to love Krishna. That is the real knowledge. Not knowing about God. That, not knowing that there is God. Knowing that there is God, that's beginning. Knowing how to love God, that is the advanced knowledge. And how are you going to love God when you don't know what God looks like? If you say God doesn't have a form, then nobody will know anything. Then like it is today, nobody knows anything, fighting each other. So that is one has to understand about the personality of Godhead and his form and activities in the spiritual dimension. And that is described as, Prabhupada described it as going back to Godhead. You know, that's going back home. Yeah. Some place where you get kicked out, how can that be your home? And you're going to get kicked out. That is not your home. Your home is where you cannot get kicked out. And so that's the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada said, as soon as you can attain the spiritual world, you'll never have to live there again. You only live there one time. And when you learn the lesson in the material world, then you don't have to, nobody even wants to come back here again. and so you have this Sachidananda Vigraha form, and your duty is to contact that and to become purified enough that that will manifest itself. And as soon as you can do that, then you can become Krishna conscious and yourself be a very happy person, a liberated soul. Just like Srila Prabhupada, a liberated soul. Liberated souls are different from conditioned souls. Conditioned souls think in a different way, and liberated souls, they think in a different way. To understand how liberated souls think, one has to become Krishna conscious. If you want to understand how liberated souls think and how they operate, only somebody who is Krishna conscious can know these things. Just like Srila Prabhupada. What did inspire to Srila Prabhupada to be so determined to change so many people's lives in the world? What could do that? Just one person. So to understand what pure devotional service is, what a pure devotee is, all these things are very difficult to understand. Just like if you're trying to understand what a deity is. You cannot understand very easy. We should not take the process just like we get it, like if we understand it. You have to see the mystery in the process and try to enter into that and become purified to know it fully. Not just take it, I know it already. Prabhupada never liked that when people say, I'm knowing Krishna. Yeah, because we're not knowing Krishna. And pure devotional service, it requires surrender. You cannot be Krishna conscious independently of Krishna. If you're Krishna conscious, you have to fulfill the desires of Krishna. Not that you just know that there's Krishna. And everybody knows that there's God. But the idea is that we want to meet God and we want to become God realized. We want to see God and we want to become enlightened. If that process is available, then we want that. We want to become enlightened and we want to see the truth. And since that's available, then the pure devotees, they give us the information how to do it. And when we apply that properly, then we get the realization. Just like I described here in many verses of the Bhagavad Gita. Simply hearing is the beginning. Just like we come here to hear the lecture in the Bhagavad Gita class, that's the beginning of spiritual life. When you hear this nectar coming through the ears, then you become enlightened by that. And then you begin to see the knowledge. You begin to realize it everywhere. And then your whole life changes. You see everyone equally. And you see and you understand everything properly. Simply by hearing. Hearing from, as Prabhupada described, the bona fide spiritual master. When we see the bona fide spiritual master, we don't know what to make of that person. The person like came out of nowhere. That's like Srila Prabhupada. You don't know what to make of Srila Prabhupada. He came out from nowhere. And so we also have to be ready that when Krishna is going to show us the person who we have to follow. We all have to follow someone. We cannot become Krishna conscious. I just get my ideas on my own. I follow my own thing and I do my own. Sometimes somebody goes to school and I'm my own student. I do my own thing. I don't go associate with anyone. I just get my degree and I'm gone. That is not Krishna consciousness. You have to become not just the lover of Krishna. You have to become the lover of Krishna's devotees. Then you'll attain Krishna. If you just try to love Krishna and he sees you disrespecting his devotees, he's not impressed by this. This is the way Krishna teaches. If you cannot find Krishna, simply have to leave the body and take another turn. Come back another time. Krishna is not that I'm chasing anyone. Oh, please become Krishna conscious. No. Krishna is like, you want to run around? Okay, run around. If you want to be Krishna conscious, I'll show you how you can attain me and become blissful in this life. But you have to make some sacrifice. Nobody gets Krishna easy by just chanting. You know, you're chanting, but you also have to do something, and you also have to contribute. Just like one of these nine processes here is making friends. You know, you have to make friends with devotees. Very important process. We cannot become pleasing to Krishna if we don't make friends with devotees. Making friends with devotees, that's also making friends with Krishna. So the devotees, we're being saved by Krishna, but we're also being saved by the devotees. So we have to have a lot of love and respect for devotees. Persons who are, that's described here in this verse, liberated souls. You have your liberated souls and you have your conditioned souls. And we have to make association with liberated souls. And then you'll find yourself, you make association with liberated souls, you yourself become liberated by that association. So we have to do that. We have to put ourselves, especially on Sunday, we have to come and associate with the devotees and get the spiritual enlightenment, cultivate that. That's very important for leaving the body. Everyone is joking around. But when it's leaving the body, everybody's serious. Somebody find out who's leaving the body, everybody's serious. Though the person leaving the body, all is very serious. All the joking is stopped. All the laughing is gone. And it is just now what the person has done with their life that they will take. If they live the spiritual life, then they can go to the spiritual world. If they didn't care for spiritual activities, then, you know, whatever. They take this body or that body. And so the suffering goes on. And the liberation goes on. So it is very important to hear from Krishna and the pure devotees. Just like I described at the end of this verse here, sometimes people comment on this Bhagavad Gita and they comment inaccurately. And why they comment inaccurately is because, as Srila Prabhupada says here, due to envy of Krishna. We are envious of Krishna. That's our position. We are fallen souls are envious of God. We don't like to hear it. Nobody likes to hear it. Just like a prisoner is done crimes. The prisoner, if you say, oh, Mr. Prisoner, you've done crimes, you say, oh, no, I haven't done anything. Nobody likes to see their faults, but in Krishna consciousness, we want to see our faults. That's a very simple thing. We want to see our faults. So if you don't see the faults, how are you going to remove the faults? So Krishna consciousness is all about seeing the little faults. If you cannot, if you're very touchy, you don't like to see a fault, then you won't make any progress. You'll go on thinking you have no fault. And that'll be your fault. So the training there, how to understand, how to see our position clearly, and how to make progress from that position. No one has told us the proper knowledge. And when we went to school, everyone said, you're the body, you're the body, that's all you. So that was all foolishness. Being the body is, thinking you're the body is part of your disease, Prabhupada said. So we're diseased, we're using our disease as if we're well. Oh, this is my disease, I'm feeling good. My disease is killing me, but I'm all right, you know. You know, so we have to find somebody who knows the truth. To find somebody who knows the truth, that's a very rare thing. Because not everybody knows the truth. But people pretend to know the truth. You know, I'm a religious person, blah, 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 blah. But we can see in their eyes, we can see in their character that they don't actually know the truth. And you won't know that unless you've seen someone who knows the truth. It's like, I know a little bit of truth because I've seen Srila Prabhupada. Once you've seen a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada walking and talking and like that, then you know of you get some confidential knowledge. That persons are different. You cannot make a person like Srila Prabhupada artificially. I've never seen a person like Srila Prabhupada, and people have never seen a person like Srila Prabhupada. And so it is the Krishna's blessing he gives us to see realized souls. That's Krishna's gift to us. We see realized souls, we can follow them, or we can get their strength, they can uphold us, and we can attain Krishna by their grace. That is the mercy of Krishna. So I'd like to stop here and open this out for a couple of questions from the devotees. Yes, Prabhu.
You said that the three bodies are the gross body, the subtle body, and the spiritual body. But I've heard it mostly translated as gross body, subtle body, and causal body. Can you explain that a little bit more?
The causal body, that is the description of the subtle body. The spiritual body, that describes, actually it's not a spiritual body, that is the spirit self. The spirit self takes a form. Just like Krishna is not made of like bones and blood and pumps and all these things. And you see Krishna's body is blue, right? It's not like a regular body. So Krishna's body is not made of all these things. And Krishna has a Satchinanda form. So we also have that Satchinanda form, but it's covered over. And the process of Krishna consciousness removes the gross body and removes the subtle body from the false identity of the spirit soul. And once that's removed, then you have spirit mind, you have spirit intelligence, you have spirit body, you have spirit all these things. But that's very deep within and covered over by the gross things and not genuine. The gross body is not a genuine body. It's made out of pumps and valves and things. It breaks down, pop up. It's not a real thing. But people, it's made by nature just to trick the soul, who is a wicked soul. You trick the wicked soul and you enlighten the good soul. What can be done? It's the way God has made it. The thing is, we have to stay away from being wicked persons or stay away from being bad persons. That's our responsibility to God. If we fall into doing bad things, then what? God can save us, but we have the responsibility, being part of God, to be a good person. We can say, oh, people like to say the devil made me do it. Or sometimes in Krishna consciousness we say Maya is very big. You know? But you cannot blame it on anyone. You have to blame it and you put yourself. If you put yourself with bad company, what can be done? Bad company will affect you. And if you put yourself with good company, what can you do? Good company will affect you also. So it's where you put you decide to put yourself. So that is very important to know, that the spiritual body, the subtle body, and the gross body. Any other questions? Prabhu, you have comment?
So lots of people, they just feel that, well, you have your way. There's so many religions, we have our way. This is the general way of thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly this is the problem, you know, my thing, your thing.
But, I mean, if my thing is better than your thing, then take my thing.